Our scripture reading today is from the minor prophet Hosea, the 13th chapter, the 14th verse. And the Lord here speaks of his church. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith through them. Amen. The word plague is not a word that we throw around a lot in our day-to-day conversation. And that's because you and I have been blessed to grow up in an age when disease control and advancements in medicine and vaccines and so on have made plagues something that sound like they're from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, even though there are outbreaks of certain plagues even around the world today. And the Center for Disease Control in the United States works very hard in the realm of what they call bioweaponry to hold off any possible outbreaks as well in our country. Just only maybe the age of your great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, for some of you, your grandparents, just in that age, smallpox claimed 300 million people around the world. And we maybe sometimes take for granted that little vaccine that we get as children. AIDS today has killed more than 25 million people worldwide. But today we really don't live under any great threat of a plague, per se. And yet it's interesting, if you really think about what a plague is and how it affects humanity and what it does to people and their bodies and so on, there really is still a plague among us today. We maybe just don't identify it in quite the same way. But go into the hospitals. How come people are continually getting sick? How come people are continually finding out, sometimes even people your age, that they have cancer or maybe some other disease? Why is it that we have to have nursing homes for us as our bodies age and so on? Why do we have to have funeral directors and morticians and cemeteries? The plague that is still with us today, it's the same thing as the bubonic plague or whatever in a certain sense. It maybe doesn't produce things quite as quickly. It maybe doesn't happen so dramatically. And yet it's extended through time and through your life. But it's really there. The same plague of death is still like a shroud over this world's population. In this time of the church year, many of the readings that the church has selected focus on the weapons that the devil may use against Christians in their lives of faith in this world. And St. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, talks about the fiery darts of the evil one. And one of the best fiery darts that he tries to use against us is this fear of dying. This fear of death. Now, the words before us from the prophet Hosea were written a little more than 700 years before the time of Christ, spoken primarily to the northern tribes of Israel, in a time of great apostasy among many people when they had fallen away from the true faith. And God raises up Hosea to declare to the people how they had wandered away from him and, in essence, divorced him. And he calls them back to repentance. Much of his proclamation to the people of his day was severe law. But at times in the prophecy, God sprinkles in these beautiful statements of gospel. And this is one of those today, where the Lord himself speaks to his church of believers. And he says, listen to these words again. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. And then I just love this. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes, when he's addressing death in the grave. You can sense the confidence and the supremacy in the tone of voice, in the structure of the wording that God has Hosea record here. You get kind of that Clint Eastwood idea in your mind of the powerful Christ now staring down death and the grave. Sorry to bring up Clint Eastwood in relation to Christ. A father can have great loyalty toward his children. A loving father who cares about his children can have great loyalty to them. And there may be times when his little children, playing on the playground, suddenly have an intimidating bully that comes along. And in those moments, as the children run to him in fear, a father will often respond by going out to those bullies and those enemies and staring them down. And in his just wrath, the enemies of his children are now his enemies in spades. And he may say to them, whoever tries to hurt or intimidate one of my children is going to have to deal with me. And the child will stand behind his dad, feeling great confidence and security. In the text before us, notice that the grave and death are not merely spoken of as enemies for you, or enemies of yours or of the church of believers, but they are now enemies of Christ himself in spades. And he is the Lord of all life. There's a great passage in another one of the minor prophets, Zechariah, where the Lord says this to his faithful, and I just love this. Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye. That's a great statement. And we see that same concept expressed here in the gospel before us. Christ now turns and stares down your greatest enemy, death, the grave that's going to take your life someday. And he stares it down back into its own shell, back into its own grave with divine vengeance. And in all of his supremacy, he says to your death, you got to deal with me now. You got to deal with me. Leave them alone. When St. Paul, prior to his conversion, known as Saul, was on the road to Damascus, he'd been in the process of persecuting Christians, believers in Christ. And suddenly Christ confronts him from the sky and says to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, when Christ's faithful are intimidated and touched and persecuted, he is as well. And suddenly steps to the forefront. That same Saul, once converted, goes on to preach this wonderful gospel and especially to tell of the great resurrection of our Lord by which he defeated death itself for us. And in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he writes a beautiful explanation of how the resurrection is now ours. And he quotes this very passage from Hosea. And he says, O grave, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who are now hiding behind Christ, the great champion of life, those who are now with him by faith are permitted by God to go through life with amazing confidence, even though death is just now a doorway in front of us that's going to lead to eternal life in heaven. The spiritual armor that God gives you and me to wear as we go through this life is not just about Christ. It is Christ. It is the risen Christ. This is the armor with which God himself has shielded you. And notice how little death is to Christ. This weapon that seems so bad against us, that seems so fearful at times and intimidating. Our Lord Jesus stepped up to the bed of Jairus' daughter and woke her up from death just as easily as your roommate could wake you up from taking a nap in the afternoon. That is how powerful and supreme our Lord Jesus is over this enemy. And so Satan's greatest weapon is nothing to Christ. And that means that Satan's greatest weapon against you is nothing to you when you are with Christ by faith. Amen. Lord, we beseech you to keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, that through your protection it may be free from all adversities and devoutly given to serve you in good works to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.